Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
The winner of Big Brother 2020.
This is the hardest decision I've ever had to make. My heart belongs with someone else.
You come to my beach, eh? Your game's done.
Welcome to another episode of Reality Is. Now, here's your hosts, Liz and Shane.
Hey, Liz, how was your pee?
Oh, stop it. Welcome to Reality Is. I am Liz Cantor, the winner of The Mole and Livingstone Botswana.
Hi, and I'm Shane Vincent, Big Brother 2020, a loser extraordinaire, and also loser on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Babe, stop being so hard on yourself. You just need to do another reality TV show and step it up at least one more week show. You came in as an intruder on Big Brother. That is hard. And you survived COVID.
Yes, I did. Thank you.
I've got to support you.
Thank you.
We're a team. Hey, talking about we's, because I just had to run and do one because I'm nervous because of who we're interviewing today, because I am a massive fangirl. But I legit have this issue where whenever I feel nervous, hopefully one of my listeners out there agrees with this, I have to do a wee. And it was really difficult during the productions of both The Mole and Livingstone Botswana, because when you have to do a physical challenge, and I'm talking extreme challenges on The Mole, like bungee jumping, you can't do that feeling like you're going to wee. So I had to empty my bladder, get rid of the nerves and do these challenges. So when we were in Africa, Botswana, we had this challenge on a massive salt plain. And as far as the eye could see in all directions, it's an oasis of salt plain. You can't see, there's not a single tree anywhere. Do a wee. So before the challenge started, I had to get the whole production and the director of the production. And I think this was challenge one too. This is my introduction to all the crew. Can everyone please look north? One of the contestants, being Liz, has to do a wee. So I had to wait till all the African guards, all the Norwegian production crew were looking in one direction, and I had to go and walk behind them on this salt plain with no cover, pull my pants down and do a wee behind them. It was so mortifying. Do you have any stories like that on Big Brother?
I've got a question first. Did you get known as the wee girl that had to pee before every challenge?
I was already the wee girl on The Mole. I'm not even joking. People would roll their eyes when the challenge is about to start. They thought it was a tactic of mine because I'd stop production and be like, okay, I'm fine to do this paintball exercise, but where's the toilet? I've just got to go do a wee first.
Yeah.
So I'm shocking. Oh my God, do you want to know another wee story that's TV related?
Yes.
We are losing our listeners. Okay, so last week I had a Queensland Weekender story that I had to shoot on the Merri Valley Rattler in Nambour. Mm-hmm. It's an old steam train. I'm in the front of the steam train with the driver shoveling coal, really giving it to him. So hot in the steam room of an old Rattler train. I finish, I scull a water, I scull a ginger beer, I leave Nambour to drive back to the Gold Coast where I live. Cruising down the Bruce Highway, there is a crash. Traffic is backed up as far as the eye can see. So you look forward, cars for as long as you can see. You look backwards, cars for as long as you can see. I can't believe I'm sharing this with you. Thank God. Thank God it's only episode two and no one's listening to this podcast yet. So I'm on the Bruce Highway. There's nowhere to go and I have to do a wee and the traffic's at a standstill. There's no trees on the side of the highway. There's just a big ditch. I can't get out of the car and do a tree wee. I can't move the car. So I think to myself, what the hell am I going to do? I can't hold on anymore. I sculled a whole bottle of water, a liter bottle of water and a ginger beer. And I look around me and I've got the ginger beer bottle in my car.
Wow. Wow.
Can you tell where this is going?
I know exactly where this is going.
Have you ever had to do this before?
Pee in a bottle?
Yeah.
I'd have better aim than probably you, I reckon.
Well, but have you ever had to pee in a bottle before?
No, because boys are easy. We can just whip it out.
But everyone would see that because there's cars stopped in front of you and cars stopped behind you and there's nowhere to go. Would you just jump out and in front of 100 cars do a pee?
I think I'd run and just go on a tree because I can.
I don't think you understand the Bruce Highway in this situation. There was nowhere to run. Anyway, I'm going to lose my Suzuki sponsorship here, but I move my car seat backwards, my driver's seat. I get the ginger beer bottle. I'm like, this is heavy, but I'm going to wet myself. I've had two kids. Yeah. I line up the ginger beer bottle. I can't believe I'm doing this. I start doing it and I have this moment of, holy crap, this works. Like, this is, thank God. But I keep peeing and do you know how much pee can come out? The ginger beer bottle fills.
Oh, no.
I can't cut off.
No, you can't.
We're ending the story there. Wow. But anyway, thank God you can pull out a car mat and wash it.
Oh, wow.
You just can't stop yourself peeing once you've started.
Suzuki, we for life. Yeah.
Shane, it was so heavy.
I reckon Suzuki will sponsor that. Suzuki, we for life. Liz Cantor jumping out with ginger beer pee bottle full.
God, never try to pee in a bottle. I don't even know where I heard that idea from, but it does not work, FYI. Anyway, on to our game of the day because I know how much we both love a good game.
I love a good game.
This game is called Guess How Many Followers These Insta Stars Have.
Oh, wow. This is a good game.
They're all ex-reality TV contestants.
Okay.
I kind of like the idea of seeing how someone on The Bachelor compares to someone on Married at First Sight, compares to someone on The Amazing Race, compares to someone on MasterChef, how many Instagram followers they can attract, and then how they can leverage a career following their time on the show. Right. So let's start with, this is throwing it back, The Amazing Race winner, Brennan Swain. He was Amazing Race season one, won the show.
Mm-hmm.
Brennan, how many Instagram followers do you think he has?
He won the show?
Won the show.
I reckon, I don't know, 100,000? Would that be right in saying something like that, you reckon, thereabouts?
He has 6,418.
Wow.
So I guess he was a bit before the time of social media.
Oh, yeah, social media, that's right.
But not really. I mean, social media, Instagram didn't even exist when I was on the mall.
Yeah,
I'm thankful for that, even though it's probably compromised me some dollars.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Instagram was when I got it. I got like 7 friends out of it. I was stoked.
And that's why we're doing this podcast. Please, people, can you give him like 3 more friends? Okay, so Amazing Race winner, 6,000 followers. Liz Jelly on the 2020 season of Farmer Wants a Wife. The Tasmanian farmer's 20, one of her 000? Wives. 3,313.
There you go.
Let's go with Jules, who was on Married at First Sight.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations. She has just had a baby.
Yeah.
I'm looking at producer Brad because he's a bit skeptical of these shows and whether they're actually, you know, there for the right reasons. She not only has stayed with the husband she married at first sight, but they've just had a beautiful little baby. So congratulations to them. Yay for love. How many followers does Jules have?
Well, now that she's had a baby, I think she would have like gassed it up to at least 50,000.
336,000 followers.
Jeez.
Reggie Bird, winner of Big Brother.
Reggie, you'd have, and was that Instagram when she won, maybe? I don't remember. Okay, I'm just going to go with 30,000.
2,700.
Wow.
Fo Ling Yu, winner of MasterChef.
Following
did
me.
Did I say your name right?
Did you say following me?
Fo Ling Yu.
No, I following you.
Stop it.
Are you following me?
No, I'm not. How many followers
you should be
does she
me because I've got 7 people following me.
I am following you, I promise.
Thank you.
Anyway, play the game.
All right. I've actually never heard of her, so 10,000.
255,000.
Wow.
People are passionate about cooking. I'm only going to give you 2 more.
She must be a good cook.
I'm cutting my list down. Let's go with... No, I'm going to give you 3 more.
All right.
Australian Idol, Rob Mills or Shannon Knoll? Guess one of them and I'll tell you their followers.
All right. Robbie Mills.
Robbie Mills.
He's done heaps of like musicals and stuff, so I reckon he's got to have at least a couple of 100,000, you'd think, wouldn't you?
73,000.
Wow, surprising.
Yeah. Stella Perry, season 2020 of The Voice.
80,000?
18,000.
Wow.
So less than Rob Mills. But get this, Sam Frost, winner.
Yeah.
Well, she wasn't. She was the Bachelorette.
Yeah.
And she was the runner-up of The Bachelor.
Yeah.
How many followers does Sam Frost have?
I reckon Sam Frost, because I've heard of Sam Frost, so I think, and I'm old, I reckon 200,000.
557,000.
Wow.
Over 500,000 followers. And that is the power of the Bachelorette franchise. Wow. Isn't that insane?
It's massive, isn't it?
And from that, she pretty much has built a career.
Yeah.
Which is absolutely incredible.
There you go. That's surprising. I was surprised with all those numbers, to tell you the truth. I was a bit shocked by some of them.
Love a good game.
We love a good game. Ding dong. Who's that follow me again?
Following you. Okay, moving on. In reality TV news headlines, I was lucky enough to go to the Channel 7 upfronts this week.
Ooh.
Big news. Channel 7 has now bought the rights to The Voice. So The Voice has shifted from Channel 9 over to Channel 7. Not only that, they've bought Australian Idol. Australian Idol comes back in 2021 on Channel 7. Am I missing something, or is it weird that they got The Voice and Australian Idol?
Who's going to do the presenting? It can't surely be Sonia Kruger.
Sonia's doing everything. That's why they paid her for...
They need a new voice. Maybe Liz and Shane present the Australian Idol.
Yeah, we have 7,000 followers on our Instagram accounts.
We get
kick us.
Oi, can you please follow us?
So I can't work out what the motivation behind this programming is. Do they just want to saturate the market by ownership of The Voice and Australian Idol? Because aren't they competing shows? Why buy both? Two shows in the exact same format to show in the exact same year?
I think it's different marketing and different stages of the year as well. I found that they do this throughout the year, not always on the same channel, but they do format different reality shows around different times of the year. So maybe they're doing The Voice at the start, Australian Idol at the end, maybe to bring in The Fro. Maybe they're bringing back Guy Sebastian.
Maybe. They've also got X Factor. So very interesting.
Oh, wow,
they're clearly trying to target a younger audience on Channel 7. They've thrown away Sunday Night, which was one of my favourite programs.
Yep.
And they've now got The Voice, Australian Idol, and X Factor back in 2021. Not only that, they're also bringing back Beauty and the Geek on TV.
Right.
So we might have to grab someone that auditioned for Beauty
Monk
and the
still
Geek.
Hosting that?
Who knows?
I'd like to get her on.
That would be good. And then SAS Australia is just smashing ratings.
I like SAS. I've been watching that. I'd like to go on it. I think I'm going to have a crack at that if they let me.
See, you'd need to do something more controversial.
Yeah. I might think about it.
I know.
I'll go on a cooking show.
Get a vasectomy.
Oh, yeah.
And film it.
Yep.
And put it on social media.
I didn't have to film it because it was already in the paper after I got it done last Wednesday.
I saw it. That's why I said. Splashed all over the Daily Mail.
Well, my balls are big in the UK.
Talking about big balls, let's get into today's chat.
All right. This guy is an absolute legend. He captured Australia's hearts like no other reality TV personality has before. I don't remember having such a lovable character grace the screens of TV and getting the Australian public backing him in every step of the way. The King of the Jungle, Mr. Luke Tukey. Now, Luke's a father of three, was a fly-in, fly-out worker who resides in the wild, wild west of WA. He wears his emotions on his sleeve when it comes to his family, which are his heart. He auditioned for Survivor for his family. The Australian public saw this and even started a GoFundMe page for Luke to help out with his family, especially his little girl who has cystic fibrosis. He also has two boys who have autism. But with the support of his wife, Mary, they make a great team and it works wonderfully. This man has had so many ups and downs, but always has the signature smile from ear to ear, radiating positivity. It's a pleasure to have him on Reality Is, the King of the Jungle, Mr. Luke Tukey.
When there's 500,000 on offer, I want to buy my wife a nice dress, the kids some shoes.
Look at that.
And then I'll probably put the rest on red at the casino.
You're a father of three, like myself, so you're not used to sleep anyway, so you'll be fine.
It's 8:45 here, which is the earliest we've done one of these podcasts, so let's just take a moment to shake off kindy drop-off and become present in this podcast. Okay. I'm going to tell you this little story. So we were going to be chatting to somebody else, and that time fell through last week. So on the off chance, I thought, imagine if we could get Luke Tukey, but how would we contact him? I was like, I can't be, I just don't have the time right now to ring through management, and I'm just going to suss out his Instagram page. And so I look at your Instagram page, I hit contact to see if I can get an email address, and it says phone number. I'm sorry, I'm throwing you in the deep end here because you're probably going to get all our thousands of listeners now calling you through Instagram.
No, okay, I'm not the best at Instagram, you know what I mean? Like, but I'm getting random fucking calls and messages from people all around the world.
And, you didn't know your phone number was there?
I still don't know how to take it off. I've looked like multiple times. It's been a discussion that we've had between me and my wife, and I'm like, how the fuck do I get rid of this thing? You know, like, it's killing me.
Oh, my gosh.
And I still can't.
I could not believe it. On your Instagram page, go to contact. I'm expecting to get chick management and Luke Tocchi's mobile number. Okay, this is going to go straight to his manager. So I'm all prepared to speak to your manager. It's ringing. I'm driving down a busy road. And then it goes to your voice. And I got such a shock. I pressed hung up and had to pull the car over. And I was, oh my God, I just spoke to Luke Tocchi. I mean, it wasn't you, but it was your answering. I rung these guys. I'm like, no freaking way. I've got his phone number.
Let me interject here for a second. Old fangirl over here was like, I've interviewed Richard Branson, all these people, and I got so nervous I didn't know what to do. And then she goes, you've got to ring him, Shay. It's
true. I don't want to big note myself. I've spoken to Jerry Halliwell, a Spice Girl, and hearing your voice made me absolutely pack my dash and have to pull the car over.
That's so funny.
I think that's the power. Ready. That's the power of Survivor. Mate, I loved you so much on the show, and I can drop that word because my husband did too. He'd back me up.
I appreciate it.
Earlier, we're not meant to be talking about the show. We're actually meant to be talking about before the show and the casting. But earlier in the show, we discussed that with Survivor, you do need to come, like, go in with a bit of game plan. And I think what I loved about you is you played my game. Like, I would have been, why hadn't anyone thought about building a bloody trench and hiding in it before or, you know?
Yeah.
Well, there was actually someone in America that had done it before, and I looked at him, like, because I'd watched it when I was younger, but later on he had done it, and when I watched everyone's game, like, he's just crazy, and he ends up being the best, the only two-time winner. Right. Ever. Yeah. For a male. There was a woman girl. But he ended up winning twice. And he's like the guy that I've like thought was the man. So I ended up kind of, I wouldn't say copy, but I like, it's not
inspired.
It's not easy, you know, like to actually pull that thing off. It took me 40 days or something crazy, you know.
It was brilliant.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Okay, Luke, let's go back to the beginning. How did you find out about the casting and what were your thoughts? I mean, we usually ask why did you want to cast, but it's a no-brainer with Survivor. You're obviously a fan of the game.
Yeah. Look, I've never, like, can imagine throughout your whole life, through school and through everything, people have actually come up to me and gone, bro, you should apply for, like, reality TV, like, you know? And I was, because obviously we just talk shit at work, we talk shit at school, you know, just constantly having fun all the time. And I never did, and because it just never really, like, the opportunity never arose or, you know, whatever. And, yeah, and I just seen The Survivor. I was like, oh, you know, I'm, like, 28 or whatever, you know what I mean? I got the kids, and I'm like, maybe, you know, this could be my run, you know? This could be it. And I actually never thought in the wildest dreams that I actually would get on still, you know, because it's like you buy a lotto ticket, you buy it, but tell me, you go home and sit on the couch thinking, oh, this is it. This is the one. You know, you buy it, you put it in your pocket, you go check it, go, oh, another loss, you know?
My husband is always so convinced he's won.
Oh, really?
Oh, mate, I'm convinced every week. I'm pretty sure that, like, because, you know, Liz does the lotto, so Liz does the Australian lotto.
Oh,
so when the 60 million.
Yeah, on Channel 7, you know, the $100 million Powerball, Wednesday night lotto, you better be watching this week.
Yeah.
Oh, what the hell?
Now you'll recognise it. Now you're going to watch it.
I'll try and do better. But that's not the scratch it, that's the actual lotto draw.
Lotto. I always convinced her. I thought I won the 60 million until she came in the next morning and told me someone else won. And I went, shit, I won't check me ticket.
Okay, so castings aren't always easy to get to. You just mentioned you've got family, you had a job. Yeah. How did you juggle it? What was the first form? Did you have to submit a video, or do you actually have to go to a cattle call?
So the first one was you press the apply button, and the next thing it comes up with, like, no joke, probably like 3 hours of, like, questions. Wow. You know, and I'm sitting there like, so I only did like a quarter of it. Then I stopped, and then I did a bit more. And then it was like, finally, I finished this thing, you know. And then it was like, they wanted a 3-minute video. And I was like, you know, and I hate, like, say, for instance, I do a lot of, you know, when you do ambassador stuff and they'll go, oh, I want you to promote something. And, like, you know, I'm already busy with the kids and everything. And I'm like, I'm not even going to put effort into this. So I just set the phone up and I just said, hey, my name's Luke, blah, blah, blah. I didn't even do anything crazy. Like, I legit just set it up and just said, hey, da, 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 talked a little bit. And then I got a call, said, you know, we're going to Skype you. And I was like, sweet. And then I happened to be away at work, did the Skype call. You know, it's always chemistry between if you can talk to someone and it's not just super awkward and you don't leave that chat going, yeah, like he's got mental issues or something, you know. But anyways, after that call is they pretty much, like, later on, oh, auditions happened, they voted me out. So we did an audition, and then they had two, like, say 30 people in a room, two teams of 15, and then the two teams of 15, then we lost our challenge, and then the 15 people voted me out in the room. And I was like, oh, what? And well, I thought that was me. Like, I'll see you later. They told the whole room to leave, and they kept me.
Stop. And I was, wow.
Yeah. So I was like, what? So I thought, there's no, like, how can I do so shit in the auditions and then win at the end? And then,
do you know what's blowing my mind right now? So in the audition, they set up a survivor scenario with challenge and elimination.
Yep, and eliminations. And it was funny because if you're in the, say, if we had actually won that challenge, we didn't even have to go to tribal. But we lost the challenge, and then everyone got together and voted me out. Like, you know, so I was like, well.
But think about the game, Luke. That means you are the best player. You're the biggest threat because you vote out the biggest threat. And that's why the casting directors were like, bingo, we've got him. He's the biggest threat.
Yeah, well, yeah, a little bit, yeah. And then I actually thought, because I was the shittest.
So all up, how long was the process from woe to go when you first clicked apply? So there was the online application, the chat, the day.
Far out, nearly 3 months. And then how's this, right? So then it was about 3 months. And then so I did the Skypes, I did the auditions, I did the second audition, which was the one-on-one with the we got kept behind and said, look, we want you back the next day. And then you do the one-on-one with all the producers. And then you leave there still not knowing if you're in, you know. But I'm thinking, well, you know, I'm feeling pretty good because now I'm doing the one-on-ones, you know. Like, and then I went away and then they finally said, yeah, we want you. And then I put it through to work and with the timing and stuff, and I couldn't get it off. So I told them I can't go and I cancelled. Yeah, so I pulled out on it. And they're like, wait, listen, we really want you. Like, and I was like, and so I called it off for like I told him no probably about two or three times. And then they're like, give it a week, try to get it off. And I was like, and then all the boys that were, I had known, actually told one of the fellas because I kept it on the download. And he's like, brother, you got to do this. And I was like, I can't, you know? And then anyways, he kept calling me a little bitch, you know what I mean? and then eventually I ended up ringing work because I was transitioning and gave him the full rundown. And they were like, look, we'll give you this 4 months off. And I was like, wow. What? And then obviously, then I finally told my missus. I told her like a little bit earlier.
I mean, thank you on behalf of Australia to Luke's boss for letting you have that time off. I actually, when I was cast on The Mole, I went back to work and asked for the time off and they said no, so I quit my job. It was the only time in my life I've ever quit a job. It goes against like my work ethic, but there was something in my gut that just said, you know what, you got to do this.
Yeah. And you know, like, how good is the opportunities that come from, you know, sometimes just put yourself out there, you know? You can get, you obviously get the bad, like people ringing me out the blue because I can't take my phone off the
Instagram. Thank God for us.
You know, you really just, you know, it's just like changed my life unbelievably. And it's like, you know, I said no, you know? I said no because that 9 to 5 or really it wasn't that, 6 to 6, you know, I'm doing 12-hour days, but it was like, you know, I got the kids to provide for, I got the family to provide for, I got like, you know, like you build up annual leave, you know, like it's just like for the boss and for work to actually sort me out and make sure that I could do it. Yeah, it really was just, and even the second season was the same. You know, I had the baby at home. You know, just get out of hospital. Like I've only just managed to get enough annual leave for work. Cause if I don't have it, they're not going to give it to me off. Like it's just, there's no ifs, buts. I'd probably have to quit, you know? And it's so hard to quit because that's my security for my life, you know?
You're providing for a family.
And I potentially have to start from the bottom again, you know? And I started at the bottom a long time ago. So I'm kind of like, yeah, I feel like it would take me a while to get back to that position, you know?
You had a similar experience, Shane, with Big Brother of having to think about, you know, you've just had a baby yourself.
Yeah, so I've got, I'm the same situation as you, Luke. I got two boys and a little baby girl as well. So, I just got out of Big Brother this year and I had to go, you know what it's like trying to provide or trying to get people all in order to take care of your kids while you're going away for an unspecified time, you know? You need to get whoever family support or friend support you can get to do pickups, help your wife, you know, all that sort of stuff. And it's a big sort of commitment, not from just you, but for all your support package around you to help out with your family while you're away and me as well, going away and going to do this reality TV crazy thing. It's out of control. Yeah.
I expected to come back and my wife be bald for pulling her hair out. You know what I mean?
So glad you get that because, I mean, the real winner here is your wife. I say that sarcastically. Tough job. Hey, let's go back to the casting.
Round of applause for the Wives of Australia.
Definitely. Thousands of people apply for Survivor. When you turned up for the casting, did you realise how competitive it was going to be? I mean, what were you wearing? What did you have for breakfast that day? Did you avoid anything? Like, I have to avoid coffee before I get nervous because otherwise I speak really fast and can't think straight.
And they'll be like, is she on drugs? You know what I mean? But the idea is, I actually believe that I wear Dickies, like high socks, like the backwards cap, you know, and I'm like the 25-year-old street kid that I've always said that, you know, I always do whatever the hell I want to do. And that showed in the game, like you can't tell me what the plan is. I'll go and do my own plan, you know. And at the same time, they put me on a team with an accountant, which was 65 years old. He works in Canberra. As a for the government or something, he's really high up and he obviously is the boss and tells everyone to do. So you've got a 60-year-old man that doesn't listen to anyone, and then you got the street kid. And I feel like they just found, like, that's, you got two, they're going to clash. Let's put them on the same team, you know? And I felt like that's how they cast. And that's why that cast for that season is rated one of the best in the world, because they thought we were going to cast bad and we're going to argue. But it was funny because we got along like on a house on fire. And it's like, it just shows that it doesn't matter if you're, you know, the CEO of, you know, Netflix, then you've got a 18-year-old kid that's, you know, been living out of home since he's 12. You can get along, you know, as long as you both have, like, I suppose, a good personality, I guess, or like you some sort of gel or meeting ground. And ours was humor. Like, we were laughing all the time.
Humor, but you could also tell there was respect there. And I think respect, yeah, when you respect someone, you really do gel. It doesn't matter if you're completely different people. If there's respect, it works.
And it was from hard work. Like, you know, because when you're out there, you notice who's not picking. He hated the people that were lazy, that wouldn't pick up sticks and wouldn't go out there and try to make the shelter better, or just would, you'd sit over there and they'd be eating their toenails or something. You'd be like, what the, you know what I mean? Like, what are you doing?
Absolutely.
You know? Where I was always like, you know, by the disguise of work, which I was working, because always I like caring for people. So I like, so making the shelter better so everyone could actually feel like they're not soaking wet all night or warm or the fire's going, or, you know, I was always doing stuff. But at the same time, I'm looking for idols, and the same time I'm building my alliance at the same time. But that's where we kind of, you know, he's seen that, people seen that. So it's kind of, I think when, that's why I say with casting, Kobe's casting is, if you're the stay-at-home mum, that's all you've been in life, well, that's like, you still have value to the casting agency, because there could be someone that hates stay-at-home mums, you know what I mean? And it's like, well, we're going to put them together, you know?
We've
like,
said that so many times. Be you.
Yeah. And
because you probably are a reflection of someone else that's a viewer out there watching that wants to see themselves in reality TV.
Yeah.
Be it a stay-at-home mum.
Yeah.
Be it a 25-year-old street kid. Be it a successful CEO. But
exactly. You know?
Something else that we have talked about previously about the actual casting experience is usually the people that get onto the show seem to have something about them that's very memorable without it actually being their name. And you kind of summed it up. Like, for instance, for me, I feel like I was wearing this solid green T-shirt and no one else in the room was just wearing solid green. So I was like the chick in the green T-shirt. But the fact you went in and you didn't dress as something you weren't or try to overthink it, but you were the 25-year-old street kid. So when they're talking later and they can't remember your name, Luke, because they've met 100,000 people, they go, you remember that guy that looked like the street kid with his hat backwards? Like, it's just, there's always just something memorable. When you did get the phone call from the producers that you had been cast, who was the first person you told? And what did you feel? Ooh. How was that moment?
Well, I think I went and told one of the boys at work, the one that I'd been kind of discussing. Like, he's just been, you know, when you just, you've got that one person at work that's your rock. Like, yours would probably be the cameraman or something. No, just joking. You're just sitting beside each other. No, but you know what I mean. Like, as in, you have that one guy, and that was my guy at work. And I think I floated to him, and then I rang my wife. But then, obviously, you know, I ended up cancelling, and then I ended up make it work. So it you have to get that stuff off your chest. And you know, they say it's super, you know, because it's building up a show, you can ruin your chance if it gets out there that you're a contestant before it's even airing. So you want to know the person you tell them can hold a secret.
Absolutely, there's a lot of confidentiality agreements and contracts,
non-disclosures
that's what they're called.
NDAs.
You've done it more recently.
I wouldn't tell Daily Mail as your first person.
Were you paid anything during the experience? For people who are applying, can they expect to get a live-away allowance, some kind of income?
Yeah, I think it's paid on a day rate. So roughly, say for instance, if you were probably earning, I'd say minimum wage or some sort of like you know, like $600 a week or $500 a week or $450. I can't remember exactly, but it's like they like to know that at least, you know, if you've left a house and you've got to still pay rent and you've still got to pay your Netflix account, you've still got to pay your
the priorities.
Priorities.
Unless you've cancelled Netflix, you know, but it's like, yeah, all those little priorities, you know. So I think that's yeah, you know, they don't want you to go fresh count, like, you know, going in the negative.
Yeah, yeah, right.
When you were speaking with the producers coming down to the final end of the casting, are there any memorable questions that really imprinted on you? Was there anything unique that they asked or things that caught you off guard that you went home and analysed later?
Well, even when you feel like you are, like, you kill an interview, like, you're just like, yeah, I smashed that one out of the park. Well, I feel like I was doing that when I was doing the one-on-ones with the CEOs, and then one of them, like, really good friends now. And then she asked me, oh, what's like a memorable story that, you know, can you think of just a story off quickly that, you know, that is funny or something? And I was like, oh, yeah, all right, no worries. So I just thought of one really quickly. And I went camping. Like, my mate, legit, he goes, I'm going to take you to my secret spot. It's like up on the hills, in the middle of like, or it's up near like Carnarvon, up near, up the top of WA. Anyways, and we go there, and I take a big 44-gallon drum of to put some wood in there, and I pour wood in there, and I put some fuel in there, and to light it up. And he's like, and it lighted up, but it went down. And then obviously, then I was like, oh, should I put some more fuel on it? And he's like, nah. And I'm like, nah, it'll be sick, bro. Put some more fuel on it, light up, help you. Anyways, he's like, no. And then I did it, and I forgot that, like, the fire can go from the fire up into the fuel can. So it caught the fuel can, which is like a 5-liter thing of petrol on fire. And then I've looked at him, I'm like, because he told me not to do it. And then I threw it up in the bush. And anyways, it lit the whole bush on fire because it's like a fireball now. Yeah. And then with his whole secret spot that he told me is now on fire after 5 minutes of me being there. Anyways, and I told him that, and I thought I'd get a hell laugh, and everyone was like, should we put this guy on the island or what?
Yeah, and I was like, this is the story that got you cast? Right. Okay. Brilliant story. My next question, is there any behind-the-scenes secrets that you'd like to share with us? Yeah. Did you nearly die at any time on this show, Luke? Because both reality TV shows I was on, I nearly died on both of them. I've already shared in another episode how I nearly died on The Mole, legit. And I haven't told anyone. Yeah. I was on an international reality TV show called Livingstone, and it was in Africa. It was a survival show with couples. Yeah. And I had this moment where I nearly died. We were arriving in a new camp. We were setting up. We were getting all the camp ready, and this elephant came over a hill and was meters from me. And I looked at it, and we'd trained before going into Africa to be prepared for these moments. And it was on its own. So I thought, oh my God, juvenile male. And I looked for my Botswanan guard, because we did have an armed guard with us, and he went like this, drop. So I remembered everything. So I dropped to my knees. There's this wild elephant meters from me. I look at it. I see it's start to paw the ground. Oh, wow. That's the first sign they told me about an elephant before they charge. I see it start to flap its ears and get bigger. And I'm like, holy shit, there's the second sign they told me about before an elephant's about to charge. And I felt every part of its being. And then I'm like, okay, avoid eye contact, crouch down low, show you're no threat. I was very proud of myself at how calm I stayed. Yeah. Here it goes. It's going to charge. And then my Botswanan guard just stepped forward and did two massive loud claps, like, and the elephant, I never realized, has very sensitive hearing. And that was just enough for it to go, okay, this girl has dropped low. There's someone in the background that's made a noise I don't like. I'm just going to let this one go. And he walked off. But it was so intense. None of that happened on camera. But for me, that was such an incredible life experience. Anything like that on Survivor for you?
All right, wait. Let's go back to that story. Scenario two, right? Scenario two. You lay down and it comes over and it just sits on you and kills you. Would you go, oh, I knew I should have run.
Oh, well, I knew the Botswanan guard was there with his gun. So I did kind of have that sense of like, I do have someone protecting me, but I was so impressed. I think the guy I spoke to about it afterwards, oh God, I've like gone kind of shaky, because it really was
a petrifying moment. Yeah. Wow. So even thinking about it now is making me have a physical response. But when I spoke to him and he said that was a close one and we were agreeing and he had limited English, he said to me, in all my life, we've always been taught not to use your guns, like to always try and do something, like to communicate with these animals in a different way first. And the clapping was enough. Yeah. Like, so he said he has never actually used his gun except for one situation where he was leading some people through the bush and they stumbled into a kill zone. So they walked through some bushes and all of a sudden they were with a lion and cubs feeding.
Oh, yeah.
And there was no way we're getting out of that. So that, like, in all his life.
That'd be the worst thing, hey? Just like, oh, just pulling back a tree and seeing that. You're like, oh, shit. Someone took a wrong turn.
Yes. So you, any near-death experiences?
I think the first season, we were on the edge of a cyclone and it was so bad that we like people were getting hypothermia and like nearly losing consciousness. People were completely like violently shaking. And then like even Jericho and I was trying to put him in a hole and lay on top of him to keep him warm. And when it's nighttime, it's pitch black. There's no moon out. It's like you're sitting a meter away from someone. I physically can't see their face, you know, because it's so dark. It's not like they're light. And we had to do like 3 days. And there was one particular night where it was like 12 hours of just straight rain and not being dry. And I think that was the first season. That was like Welcome to Survivor. And we actually became like penguins. So you sit there and you huddle and the people on the outside will get cold because they're copping the wind and stuff. And then when they start shaking, you push that person into the middle of the group and then the outside people have to cop it. And no joke, we dealt like that for a good 8 hours, 8-9 hours during the night, you know. And that was just like, even they came out and they're like, look, we understand, like, last night was bad, but this is Survivor, you know? You have to suck it up.
That's so heavy.
So we had a night where a dust storm hit. We had
nighttime vision cameras.
Yeah.
But they're not even talking to you. So the nighttime cameras, they just sit there and you know what? Their cameras don't even show off any light. So it's just like, you know, they don't, it's not like a little torch where you can like, oh, I can see where I'm walking. All you'll hear is someone go, ah! Ah, oh, like, you know, they kick their legs or whatever. One dude, he went to go to the toilet and he got lost. And all of a sudden we were all laying there like held close together and we could hear this. Ah, ah, and we're like, what is that noise? And he was like in the bush going, help, help. Well, you're allowed to walk off by yourself, one person, but you're not allowed to walk off in pairs.
Why is that?
Unless you've got a camera on you.
Unless you've got a camera, because
two people walk off, they could be talking about the game, strategy, whatever, and they want to make sure every single part is caught on TV
or on camera. You had extreme reality TV sort of situations.
I still feel like Africa's would be like, that's a different beast. Yeah. Like, Africa's got those, like, you can't predict wild animals. Like, okay, you deal with a bit of the weather, you know, in other countries or whatever, but like, as an elephant rolling up on you, that could kill everybody.
My bed was a little bit springy in the Big Brother house, and my pillow wasn't great. So I'm just going to let you guys know that.
No bed here. And one of the nights we had this raging windstorm, and it was like someone had a bucket of dirt and was shaking it on my head all night. I was closing my eyes and closing my mouth and having to breathe through my t-shirt. And I was like, this isn't fun. Like, I didn't sign up for this shit. Like, what the hell? But it's interesting what you say about the animals, because for me, as high risk as they were, that's why I did the show, to have that experience. It was money can't buy to live with those animals.
Yeah. Oh, it's always going to be up there, you know, and your memories of it, you know, that spring, like that, I'm sure you still got some PTSD from that one every time you lay down at night, you know? Yeah,
thanks, Luke. Listen, it's not 12 hours of rain or getting sat on by an elephant, but I tell you what, that springy bed, we've all had our trials and tribulations, mate, all right?
Hey, Luke, also, just so you know, I've got two little boys. I've got a 2-year-old and 3-year-old, and I did buy them creeping shirts from online. post-survivor. Yeah, and we're sending them to Kindy and their griefing shirts. So, and also, if anyone does want to donate to your charities, because I do understand that you do a lot for cystic fibrosis, for autism. I've got my cousin's son has cystic fibrosis, so it's, you know, a cause very close to my heart too. How can they help contribute to your charities?
Well, we've actually just done one just yesterday or day before. Me, the Golden God, and Zach, Big Dog Zach from Survivor, we all got together and did an 8-hour fitness challenge, and we just actually raised 8K for Zonta House, which is a women's refuge. So, yeah, we only just did that. Like, we raised like just over 4K and through Dave, and he's decided to match it and throw in 4K of his own. So I've kind of... I felt like that's another little like thing that was, you know, close to me. So I kind of wanted to do that. And obviously I do the autism charities through Ocean Heroes, which is takes out autistic kids surfing. And the other one is, yeah, the cystic fibrosis charities. But, you know, any three of them are pretty close to me. I don't have any direct links at the moment. Like that was my last. And that like, oh man, I was so sore yesterday because obviously 8 hours of fitness and challenges. It was like we were doing Survivor again. But, yeah, they're the three that I'm kind of, you know, I'll get behind at the moment.
I can hear the kids waking up, so we won't keep you too much longer because I feel for your wife. I am that woman in the morning getting the kids ready.
I'm also that woman in the morning doing the same thing.
Yeah, you are. He's good like that. So your casting tips, your final casting tips for all those people whose dream is to have a crack at Survivor, how can they hide in their chances of getting on the show?
Well, one is just having a crack. You know, that three-hour questionnaire, fill it out. That three-minute video, you don't have to go and eat a bug down in Africa. You know, you don't have to get chased by an elephant to get on it. You know what I mean? You don't have to. Just tell them who you are, you know. I really, all I did was set my phone up exactly, you know, right in front of me and just let them know who I am and say that I had the kids and the, you know, the certain growing up or what I'm into, you know. And I just, a lot of people I know that they start applying and they stop. Because it's nearly like when someone writes a book and they stop because they're like, oh, no one's going to read this. But in the end, if you do it for yourself and you're not doing it for the producers, you're not doing anything, if you don't get in, well, whoop-de-doo, like you've still done it for yourself. Everything's for yourself because there's like 5 billion people on this planet. And in the end, there's like 99.90% of them don't even care. Like if you fill it out or don't fill it out. You know, but if you fill it out, it's something for yourself. You're like, well, I sent it. Like, I did it. It's gone now, and it's in their hands, you know. And if they don't pick me, well, whoop-de-doo. If they do, well, I'm going to go out there and have a crack. Some people still do that whole process. They get eliminated first, and they're the ones I kind of feel, I always feel like they never got started in the game.
Yep.
You know, you've got 12 hours, and you're getting sent home, and you're like, man, I didn't even get my feet wet, you know, and that's where. But still, I always still say, and if you look through my posts or whatever, like the first people that got voted out, then and they're survivors as well. You know, they got through the audition process, they did it all, they got picked, they got voted out. So irrelevant if you come first, second, or last, it doesn't matter, you're a survivor. Nah, 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 nah. You know what I mean? Like, that's what you are. You got to live out the dream.
Okay. I think I know the answer to this, but would you do it again?
100%. I feel like I'd love to see some new blood, you know, some newbies, get some, you know, build up some more characters. And I think you could see me around season 15, you know, season 20, somewhere around that. A couple more seasons, you know, way, but.
Come in a walking
I'll buy frame. A big grey beard by the time I come in, you know, big grey mullet. I'll come in looking totally different.
It takes seconds for people to drown or drag out there, so I just grabbed their arm, reefed her onto the rocks. So you needed a hero.
I just love him. I want to be his friend.
Yeah, me too.
Do you know what word I think we should permanently bring back?
Tell me.
Whoop-de-doo.
Whoop-de-doo is a very old word.
It's just so good.
Yeah.
Says it all.
It does. Whoop-de-doo.
Hey, not that my mind went elsewhere, but I thought of one more wee story.
You need to go.
I don't know if you've heard enough already, but during the mole, this will make you laugh, at the eliminations at the very end, we go into the Seven studio and we do the exam in there and then be eliminated live on air in studio. And just before we were about to go into studio, of course, I had to go and do my wee because it's a nervous time. And in the toilets was Sonia Kruger. And back then, she was a presenter on Today Tonight. And she was watching The Mole, and she was a fan of The Mole. So I'm in the bathrooms washing my hands. In walks Sonia Kruger, and I recognised her straight away. This, you know, I've studied journalism. I look up to her. She's been on Strictly Ballroom, for Christ's sakes. Who hasn't watched that? A girl in the 80s growing up. She goes to do her wee, but she keeps talking to me while she does her wee.
Right.
And I remember just being like, mind blown. I was like, Sonia Kruger is peeing and I can hear her pee and she's still asking me questions about them all. Anyway, that's my connection to Sonia Kruger and she was super lovely. That's a little inside goss.
I like Sonia Kruger. I've had, I'd never heard her pee. And she never spoke to me in the bathroom, but I met her on Big Brother because she was the presenter on Big Brother and she was lovely.
So down to earth.
Great legs.
Yeah, she just looks incredible. Anyway, I promise if you come back and listen to another episode of Reality Is, I will not say a single wee story.
I've got some poo stories, so if you want to come back again.
Great hook. Great hook. If you've enjoyed today's show, please do us a favour. Maybe I shouldn't say it for this one, but rate us.
Yeah.
There's a star system at the bottom of where you're listening to the podcast. If you can give us 5 stars, we will give you a high five because that means we have more chance of being discovered on your streaming networks.
That's right. We're very excited that you guys are listening. So please check us out. RealityIsPodcast.com. Check us out.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.